Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. Verse 24 and verse 25, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 24 and 25. Verse 24, it reads, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we rejoice that we have a living hope in our risen Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And I pray if there are some in our midst this morning that lack that assurance, Lord, I pray that they would have an understanding of their need and receive the gift of God, which is eternal life this day. And Lord God, for those of us that have this living hope in Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray on this Resurrection Sunday that you would strengthen us and encourage us to be that witness, that testimony that you've called us to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Here in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, the chapter begins with a record of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the essence of verses 1 to 10. A record of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The tomb is empty. Note there in verse number 1, it talks about seeing the stone taken away from the sepulchre. The tomb is empty. And our risen Lord appears first and foremost to Mary there in verse number 16, where Jesus said unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And then the Lord Jesus appears to the disciples except for Thomas. Note there in verses 19 and 20, please. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. There is no record of the disciples actually touching our Lord as they were invited to see the scars on his hands and in his side. But yet the Bible teaches us in verse 20, they were glad when they saw the risen Lord. Where was Thomas? That's the question that you and I need to ask ourselves at this initial appearing of our Lord before the disciples in verse number 24, as we read, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus appeared. We don't know where Thomas was at this particular time, but God, in his graciousness, appears to the disciples a second time. This time, Thomas is present. Thomas is present. Now, we need to bear in mind that our Lord Jesus said to his disciples before his death, burial, and resurrection that they were to tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the anointing power of the Spirit of God. And because of fear of the Jews, they hid themselves behind closed doors, as it reads there in verse number 19. And in telling the Thomas concerning the coming of the Lord or the risen Lord, Thomas responded that I will not believe. Thomas was adamant that he would only believe in the risen Christ if he actually sees and touches him. That's the essence of verse 25. And then he said, if I see in his hands the print of nails and my finger into the print of nails and thrust my hand into his side, unless I see all the above, I will not believe. Thomas was one of those out of sync disciples. Slow to learn, one of those doubting individuals who could only see the dark side of the world. He only had a way of seeing the dark side of the world and struggled to see any blue sky. One author said, in reference to John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, the book talks about an individual by the name of Despondency, and an individual known by the name of Much Afraid. And this author said that these are a large class of Christians who are successors of the Apostle Thomas. It is some 8 days after the first appearance that our Lord appears in the presence of the disciples. This time, Thomas is present. Note then verse 26, please. It reads, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. So some 8 days have passed after that initial first appearance recorded there in verse 19 and 20. And our Lord appears to the disciples once again, but this time Thomas is present. Our Lord Jesus goes on and gives a blessing, peace be unto you. And then note then verse number 27, that our Lord Jesus, in giving a blessing of peace to the disciples, invites Thomas to touch him and believe that he is truly the risen Lord. Note then verse 27, it reads, then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Amen. But believing. The Lord Jesus knows our hearts. God is omniscient. He knows where you are at right now. He knew exactly where Thomas was at. So therefore, he said to Thomas, Thomas, go ahead, see, touch. That's what you requested. But then in inviting him to touch, he said to Thomas in verse 27, be not faithless, but believing. With this, Thomas responds wholeheartedly in verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. So with this invitation, Thomas responds wholeheartedly, confessing Jesus Christ, the risen Christ as his Lord and God. For Thomas, seeing was believing. Seeing was believing. Our Lord did invite him to touch, but it doesn't actually say that he touched our Lord, which is interesting. Our Lord invited him to touch, but it was enough that Thomas saw the risen Lord, and he confessed him as Lord and God. So our Lord did invite him to touch, but he doesn't actually say, the scriptures don't actually say that he actually touched our Lord, but he made that confession. And this fits with the following response there in verse 29, where the Lord Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. It doesn't read, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and touched me, thou hast believed. No, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, you believed. And then our Lord went on to say in verse 29, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. Our Lord Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, you have seen and you have believed. You have seen me as the risen Lord and you have believed. But far more blessed will be those that, having not seen me, choose to believe. Far more blessed will be those that haven't seen, but yet have believed. Thank you, Jesus. You've seen, believe. But far more blessed will be those that have not seen, but yet have chosen to believe. This is where all humanity stands today, and has stood for almost 2,000 years. Because Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven after appearing to many, over 500 individuals, in a period of 40 days, our Lord Jesus ascended back to heaven. And therefore Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas, you've seen, you've believed. But far more blessed will be those that have not seen and yet have chosen to believe. See, biblical Christianity stands on the fact of the physical death, burial, and bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Biblical Christianity has a historical basis. For example, the disciples were real people in history. The authors of the Gospels were real individuals. In fact, a lawyer by the name of Frank Morrison sought to discredit the resurrection, and he sought to do so by discrediting the authors of the Gospels, only to find that they were credible individuals in history. So therefore they were credible, their record was believable, and as a result this man went on to write a book titled, Who Moved the Stone? Affirming that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And the first chapter of that book is titled, The Book That Refused to be Written. The Book That Refused to be Written. The disciples were real people in history. Jesus Christ is a historical person, not a fictitious character. In fact, a Jewish historian by the name of Flavius Josephus, who lived after the return of Christ, wrote affirming his existence. He was not a believer. He was a Jewish historian, and he affirmed the existence of this man by the name of Jesus Christ that performed countless miracles. The Bible makes reference to places such as Israel, Egypt, Bethlehem, Nazareth, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, the Judean wilderness, and I can go on and on. These are all real places that still exist today, and you can visit today. This is biblical Christianity, my friend, based upon harmonizing provable historical facts that involve people, places, events. But is that enough for people to believe? Is that enough for people to believe? Obviously, the answer is no. No. This was never God's intent. See, at the end of verse 27, the Lord Jesus invited Thomas to see and touch and said to him, "Don't be faithless, believe." Why such a statement? See, the reason being, no matter the amount of tangible evidence you experience, you still need to exercise faith and choose to believe in what you see and what you touch. This is why our Lord Jesus said, in seeing, in touching, Thomas, don't be faithless, believe. And this is why our Lord Jesus, in affirming the belief of Thomas, said, "You are far more blessed if you choose to believe without seeing." Because at the end of all so-called facts, you still need to choose to believe the facts. That makes sense? You can see, you can touch, but you still need to choose to believe what you see and what you touch. So you still have to exercise faith. That's why Jesus said, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Facts can be interpreted as we so will. Consider what took place in Israel on the 7th of October last year. How does one explain the loss of countless innocent lives and many killed by sheer brutality? How do you explain that? A Sky News reporter asked this very question. How do you explain that? The loss of countless lives, predominantly killed in a very brutal manner. The question was asked to the head minister of Gaza's international relationships. His answer was, it was all caused by Israeli jet planes. It was all caused by Israeli jet planes. That's how he answered. That's how he explained the loss of countless lives on October 7th and people that were brutally killed. It was Israeli planes that caused it all. See, you can have the facts, you can see the facts, but you need to choose to believe the facts, place faith in what you see. And facts on their own, well, you can choose to believe as you choose to believe. And that's why the Lord Jesus said, blessed are they that have seen, in reference to the risen Christ, and have chosen, blessed are those that have not seen, but have chosen to believe in the risen Christ. See, biblical Christianity, my friend, is believable because it is based on provable historical facts. But there's always a need to believe, to place your faith in Jesus Christ, whom you have not seen. Only then can we possess eternal life. See, that's why in verse number 31 it reads, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Biblical Christianity is believable because it's based on historical facts. Real people, a real Jesus Christ, real places where these events took place recorded within the scriptures. But you and I still need to exercise faith. From man's perspective, seeing is believing for some, not always. Biblically, believing, if you choose to believe by faith, then you will see with clarity. This is why the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 11, without faith it is impossible to please him. All of us exercise faith on a daily basis. I trust that last night you sat down to eat your meal, your dinner, without checking that the chair that you sat upon would hold you up. You just simply took your seat, sat there, you just believed that chair would hold you up. You exercise some faith without even realizing it. What about the food that you were eating? You exercised some faith that it was good for you, that it wasn't going to kill you or make you sick. You exercised faith. See, all of us exercise faith where we choose to disbelieve. Many of you will book tickets to fly to a destination, wherever it might be. And I like to think that you will book those tickets believing that that plane trip will safely arrive at that destination. We all exercise some faith. And my friend, it's only faith in Jesus Christ that will save you from your sin. And Jesus said to Thomas, blessed are those that have not seen and yet have chosen to believe. My friend, that's where humanity has stood for almost 2,000 years. The Bible records his death, burial, and resurrection. Blessed are those that have not seen but yet believe. And I urge you on this Resurrection Sunday to place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because biblical Christianity has a solid foundation. Biblical Christianity has a solid foundation. It is based upon truth. based upon the truth of the Word of God. The Bible claims to be the inspired Word of God. Therefore supernatural, therefore accurate. From the thousands of promises within the pages of the Bible, made, many fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, to many provable facts that are in the Scriptures that you can affirm this day has been true, to the many fulfilled prophecies within the Scriptures fulfilled to this day. God's Word stands true. The Bible is the basis of blessing and prosperity within our Western civilization. This is it. This has brought blessing to this country of ours. That's irrefutable, because this is truth. Amen. Biblical Christianity is based upon truth. Biblical Christianity has a solid basis. The Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So if this is the Word of God, then we would expect impact. We would expect accuracy. And that's exactly what we have in the Word of God. Biblical Christianity has a solid foundation in truth. Biblical Christianity has a solid foundation in that it is spiritual. It is spiritual. What do we mean by this? We mean that it is beyond ordinary limitations. Biblical Christianity is spiritual. In contrast to that which is natural, that which is visible. So with the spiritual, that is the invisible, we need faith. See, Christianity is not a blind faith. Biblical Christianity has its basis in the supernatural resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the evidence, the invisible, is visible today in countless ways, predominantly with changed lives. Men, women, and children all over the world have testified to the fact that Jesus Christ has changed their life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Changed lives. New Testament churches all over the world. Why is it that Christians are adamant on worshipping collectively on a Sunday? It's in memory of a risen Lord. That's why we worship on a Sunday. We collectively worship in remembrance that our Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Biblical Christianity has a solid foundation. It's based upon truth, and it's spiritual. It is spiritual. The evidence of the invisible is visible. How is it that people all over the world, of every race, of every color, of every social status, all testify to the one Jesus Christ that has changed their life? That's a spiritual work. That's beyond ordinary limitations. And that's what biblical Christianity is all about, changing lives. Biblical Christianity has a solid foundation. It is based on truth. It is spiritual. And last but not least, it's fully dependable. It's It's fully dependable. Note with me in the Gospel of John chapter 3, please. The Gospel of John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. It reads, "For God so loved the world," verse 16, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And there in chapter 5, verse 24, please, of John, the Gospel of John, John chapter 5, verse 24. Our Lord Jesus went on to say, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," verse 24, "and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Amen. Biblical Christianity, my friend, has a solid foundation. It's based upon truth. It's based upon that which is spiritual, evident, in the visible, changed lives, Christian churches all over the world. But also biblical Christianity has a solid foundation in that it is fully dependable. The Lord Jesus made it very clear, "He that believes on me will not perish, but have everlasting life." And what a wonderful assurance is there in verse 17 of chapter 3 that God did not send his Son to condemn. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn. God is not out to condemn you. God is not out to condemn me. We are condemned already because we are all sinners. And God the Father did not send his Son to condemn, but he sent his Son to save you and I from our sin. Because we are condemned already. But we can pass from death unto life if we will choose to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what the Lord Jesus spelled out. Before Thomas, he said, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and believing ye might have life through his name." My friend, will you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? We are condemned sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all in need of a Savior before a holy God. Your sin, my sin, will ultimately lead us to hell. But God loves you. For God so loved the world, that's all of us. Nobody is excluded. No matter your background, no matter what you know, you don't know, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loves you. God wants to save you. But you need to believe. You need to choose to believe. Biblical Christianity is believable. And even the Lord Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, in seeing, in touching, don't be faithless, believe. You'll still need to believe, Thomas. You'll still need to place your faith in what you see and what you touch. That's why more blessed are those that do not see, yet choose to believe. We choose to believe the record of Scripture that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And based upon believing the gospel, we acknowledge our need of a Savior, and we choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible gives us the assurance that we can be saved. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ is your own personal Savior? Heaven or hell? It's your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice. I made that decision at the age of 14. I acknowledged that I was a sinner in need of God's forgiveness. I chose to believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And upon that belief, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Did I literally see Jesus Christ on that day? No. I chose to believe the record of Jesus Christ. And I invited Jesus Christ to be my personal Savior from sin. Thomas said initially, I will not believe until I see and touch. But yet in seeing, Thomas believed. He didn't need to touch our Lord. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus said to believe, you will be blessed with the assurance of eternal life, a changed life, forgiveness, peace, joy, and hope. And on this Resurrection Sunday, my friend, I'd like to invite you to place your faith in Jesus Christ today. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. For a very short period of time, people could actually see the Lord Jesus. And many believed upon what they saw. Well, that's not needful. That's not needful. For Jesus said, blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed. I'd like to invite you this morning to invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior from sin on this Resurrection Sunday. We all exercise faith to a measure, but it's only faith in Jesus Christ that will save you from your sin. Let's bow for prayer.